In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine here, as always, with Casey Bosham.
Hi guys.
And Danny Murphy.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, everybody.
Depending on when you're listening to this, I guess.
I think we should just say good day.
Good day.
Because we don't know what day it is. We don't know anything else but day.
I don't know what month it is, so that's, yeah.
That is so true. I've actually started living in the jokes about not knowing what day it is because I truly just wake up confused. And, like, at this point, I'm just taking my birth control to, like, have something to do and know what day it is.
Truly.
Just to occupy some time.
Trivia on Tuesdays, so I'm like, this is Tuesday.
Oh, there you go.
I do trivia on Saturday, and that's how I know my weeks, yeah.
It's fun.
And listen, new Real Housewives of New York on Thursday, so we're getting a structure in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Songland on Monday. I know this is truly like that. The person I'm coming out of this quarantine, like I never thought I'd be a trivia head, but here I am being like, can't wait for the real world to open up so I can play this trivia in real life. Like I just never thought I'd be kids and playing trivia, and here we are.
It's a different type of Pandora's box, yeah, for sure.
it's opening up something, that's for shit. Yes, that's for shit. I don't know if that's a saying, but mark it.
It trade is it. Now, another, who cares?
Anything I wanted goes. To kick off with an update, too, right now, because another side effect of coronavirus besides Casey's inevitable chicken cooking is that... we covered this person against our will a little bit at the beginning of the year. Luca Magnotta from Netflix's Don't Fuck with Cats. So he's been in maximum
security. Yeah, because he chopped someone up and fucking mailed his body parts.
To honor a movie, yeah. So he might be getting released because the maximum security prison in Quebec he's at is like overrun with COVID-19 cases. Yeah. So 10 inmates have fallen ill, and then 16 officers also tested positive. So it's sort of like, it feels like it's like a breeding ground in there. So I also don't know, because obviously this was only reported on the Daily Mail for now. grain of salt. But I don't know what that entails, because I feel like you can't just have like a full-on killer. Like I understand people with like drug charges.
Lesser charges, but yeah.
Someone, yeah.
They would definitely have to be on like house arrest or something.
With that mom, remember his mom? That bitch was amazing.
Oh God. Yeah, she'd be like, "Oh, what's that? You're going on a date? Sounds good, honey." Like,
yeah. Did you sharpen your knives? Did you sharpen your knives? It's also like I would say I just wonder if like they have to release people because if like everybody that works there is getting sick, if they like actually just don't have enough people to like work, like that's also what a scary part of this is. It's like then we're just gonna have jails like unmanned.
Like free time at jail.
Yeah, like nobody locking those doors and enforcing the rules.
And it sucks too because this was just when he started to get like in the worst parts of prison for what he deserves, because his ex-girlfriend said for a while he was somewhere where it was sort of just like he called it like a college campus. And so his ex-girlfriend Barbie really putting a bow on this. I'm not joking to you. Her name is Barbie Swallows. So
no, it's not. That's her porn name.
I'm happy Come no on. One is really driving now because they would. I would have swerved off by seeing Marty Swallow. she hopes that coronavirus gets him. So you know what? That's Barbie's POV on it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been wild. So weird because like someone else pointed out to us on Instagram that Anna Delvey has been posting these like deranged cartoons.
She sure has, yeah.
And I don't know what that's about. And also like there was this whole hullabaloo with like Joe Exotic maybe having coronavirus in prison and it was really unclear what was going on. So this is a whole ass mess in conclusion.
Yeah, I feel like Anna Delvey, those cartoons could be her animated series for Quibi. Who knows, you know?
Oh, my God.
I could really see that's where June of 2020 brings us, like Anna Delvey on Quibi. I'm just open to all opportunities and possibilities.
I want that now. That's perfect for her. Okay, wow. Good job, Danny.
I'm also her agent, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Apparently.
The best. Another like tangent. So in our group, not another true crime group on Facebook, last week we mentioned Elon Musk's baby name, which we still don't know how to pronounce because it's not a name. And that inspired some of our listeners to post about their own bad names that they'd experienced. And it was like an amazing thread that we were all just dying at.
So good. So good.
So I wanted to share a couple of them. The first one was from Amy A. She wrote, listening to this week's episode and felt like I have to share that I had a friend who had a friend whose legal first and middle name was the number 4, no more, pronounced for no more, because he was the fourth kid and they weren't going to have any more.
Wow. I mean, way to make a kid feel special.
Right?
That is upsetting.
It's upsetting.
They should have just named him We Didn't Want You.
Yeah.
Or just Cherry on Top. You know what I mean?
Cherry so bad. Okay, then.
Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, then Megan H. wrote, this was a girl who worked for her. She said her parents couldn't pick a name, so she went by her last name, which could be a first name if you try hard. And her legal first name was FNU. I thought perhaps it was a cultural name or something. She told me later that the hospitals used to let you put FNU on a birth certificate, which means first name unknown, but it was legit on her social security card, FNU.
What? How could you be
forget to name?
Yeah.
Her parents were Liras. They were too indecisive.
Just put Pam, you know, I don't know, just panic, Pam. You know, panic. Yeah.
Even switch it around, call her Fun.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Make her gull sound.
You can
yeah.
never be in a bad mood if your name is Fun. That would suck.
Yeah. That would suck.
That,
oh boy.
I also just love her driver's license of everything too.
That's rough. And like, I have so many questions. I don't know. Okay, last one. Savannah N. wrote, while working in room service at my job, I had a lady in house whose name was Blue Eyes. Also, from working in childcare, I looked after a little boy named Da Vinci and another named 20-T-O-O. 22. Not even the right two. You think he was a 22nd kid?
I guess. Or 20. Maybe there was another 20, and this one was 20.
22.
You know what
I
mean? 20 also.
I do love the name Savannah. Yeah. That's a good first name.
Savannah's a good name. None of these other names are good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, actually, though. Blue Eyes is kind of fun.
And I don't mind a Da Vinci.
Da Vinci is honestly, I feel like, pretty good. Like what if your last name is like code? Not anything Italian? Like, that would be hilarious.
Yeah,
you're like if your name was just Rosenstein. Like
Da Vinci Simpson.
Exactly.
Don't give Ashley any ideas. She might pop another one out.
She's pregnant. She is pregnant.
Well, oh there we go. Da Vinci.
There
Ross.
We go.
Da Vinci Simpson Ross.
There you go.
When Anna Delvey ends up on Quibi, and then Ashley Simpson names her kid Da Vinci, we'll know. That Danny has like predicted the world.
That yikes. To cash out your checks now, guys. If I'm predicting the world, I don't know what's going on.
Sell your stocks.
Oh my God. Do you guys have anybody that like Do you guys know any, like, what is the weirdest name of, like, somebody that you, like, do you guys remember anybody from, like, childhood or anything like that?
To be honest, no.
My main thing, I remember someone, this is less, it's more so just a read on them than their name. They changed, do you know people, like, they would change the name of their spelling of their names to be unique. So it started going by K-A-I-T instead of K-A-T-E. And I'm like, what are you trying to prove? We're in seventh
grade. Listen, sometimes kids need a little individuality. I remember when I was in like third or fourth grade, I started spelling my name K-A-Y-C-E-E. And it lasted I realized it was like a lot more letters and like kind of more annoying to just not spell it my regular way. But I get the need for a little individuality.
You could have gone Teen Mom if you kept that spelling up.
Truly.
I could have. Dang. Shoot. My life could have been differently if I threw a Y in the middle of my name.
I am so glad you didn't.
Thank you.
I had a friend growing up that they had the same first name and as their last name.
Huh?
What?
Yeah.
Their name was like, I don't know, Jamie.
It was like, it was like the same first name, same last name.
That's fucked up.
I know.
That's so fucked up. Cause like, I feel like trying to get any sort of legal documents or make a Facebook would be like, that's fake.
Or every ID would be like, this is a fake ID.
Yeah.
Yes. I had a friend growing up. Oh, God.
Oh, I was going to say, one of my friend's last name is Rox. So every time she would like, also if she's listening to this, hi. But like when she would try to make a Facebook would be like, okay, no, you can't be like that's a fake last name. And she was like, no, but it actually is my last name.
Was it spelled like R-O-C-K-S? Yeah,
sure was. Well, it sure is. Like,
wow.
Dang. I had a friend growing up named Jessifer. Like it was in between Jessica and Jennifer. What? Her name was Jessifer.
That is like if TJ Maxx and Target collabed.
And they call themselves like TJ
the Jessifer collection. Yeah. Oh my God.
Tarmax. Yeah.
Tarmax. It's a Tarmax.
Tarmax.
That's just two it's white girls combining.
Honestly, a Jessifer sounds like a type of succulent or something.
It sounds like a typo, it's like I'm now, sorry.
It's like, I know, but you know what, actually, now that I say it now as like a grown-up, I'm like, it's kind of pretty. You know, like I'm kind of into it now. I remember as a kid being like, I don't know, but yeah.
It's not like terrible.
It's not terrible. It just is a fun hybrid.
I started
watching Big Little Lies like 3 years too late, and the whole time my mom and I were like, why is this girl's name Amabella? Like, what the hell is that about?
That's about money.
That is just a different tax bracket.
So fucking annoying. Anyways.
That is using vowels that you need 7 digits in your bank account to know.
But like, why not Annabella? Like, that's the actual name. I don't understand why that was a thing.
I know. That's like in Mean Girls when he's like, Amphorny.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
We have a weird name case today.
Honestly, we kind of made fun of it already last week.
It's a weird name. Fun to say.
It's fun to say. It makes me crave like an antipasto platter. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Get me some like prosciutto. Yeah. And burrata.
I want some green olives. Yeah. Honestly.
Love that. Yes. Because we're talking about Sherry Papini.
Papini.
Yes. Hey.
Yes. I know. I feel like it should be the name of like some Italian restaurant. Okay. Sherry. This is a weird case, guys. So like buckle the fuck up. Get your iced coffee.
Like, super, super confusing. Like I remember even just reading the outline being like, what the fuck is actually happening here? Just because there's so many different weird little accounts from so many different weird little like reports on it.
The thing is like there's not a whole lot of like official info out there. No. I feel like because the party line from most big outlets seems to be pretty similar, and so I had to go digging into these like random Guardian articles and stuff like that to get any sort of picture of what was happening. But okay, background on Sherry Papini. She grew up in Shasta County, California.
Shout out.
Do you know what that, are you from there?
No, I have family around there. I learned how to ski at Mount Shasta.
Sweet. Shasta. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go.
Shasta.
Okay. She has a husband, Keith, as well as a son and a daughter. And she was described around the time of her disappearance as a supermom. Here's a fun side note, though. Keith was not her first husband. She was married to a David Dreyfus in 2007. They met while working on a youth-to-youth project, which is some, like, community-based drug prevention and leadership program. He says they parted amicably and remained friends until she started dating Keith. So, whatever. You're more mature than me, I guess. Okay. So... Sherry disappeared, and at the time of her disappearance, she was 34, and her kids were young. Sorry, just pause because my dog is barking.
Every Zoom call now is Fiona Apple inspired because you fetched the bowl cutter. She put dogs in her video. So I think it's okay. I think if Fiona Apple's
okay. Well, we'll just leave it. Listen, Rollo, if you're not going to share your theories on this case, like, please quiet down.
I also think my dog just stared at the screen when yours started barking, so I think they're communicating to each other.
Yay!
Oh, cute.
That is really cute. Okay, Sherry, back to Sherry. She disappeared on November 2nd, 2016, while jogging in Redding, California around 2 p.m. Another reason why you don't go jogging. Her husband, Keith, immediately knew something was up because she failed to pick the kids up from daycare. And initially, police kind of maybe dragged their feet, shockingly. The California Department of Justice initially listed her as a voluntary missing adult before changing it. So then Keith started a GoFundMe to help with the search, which raised over $49,000. And then eventually, like, this did become huge news. And there was a $50,000 reward. Yeah. I mean, she was like a pretty young blonde mom, like hits all the points, you know.
I was going to say, if you Google the photos, you will definitely remember seeing this because I just remember like her family.
100%. Yeah.
Super weird.
I mean, and she also had like all the makings of like a good missing person poster because she had like crazy eyes and bangs.
You know, like, bangs. Oh my God, the bangs.
Things were happening in this picture. Yeah. Not saying that if you have bangs, you deserve to be kidnapped, but I'm saying bangs make for a good poster.
Yeah.
Fight me. Okay.
Yes. So things got so big that at one point an anonymous donor offered a six-figure reverse ransom, aka a reward. I don't really know why they called it that. That's just a reward, but whatever. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Honestly, this anonymous donor will come back in the theories, so like just keep it in the back of your mind because I don't want to get super into it right now. But apparently,
put
like
in your pocket.
Put it in your pocket. Apparently, the lead on the case went ballistic when he heard about this, and he thought it would encourage scammers like to come out from the woodwork. The interesting thing about this kind of slightly side tangent is like this did become huge news. And she wasn't missing that long, so it doesn't seem like the authorities dragged their feet for that long. But apparently they did. They were slow enough on the jump that this family already managed to raise $50,000 and get a huge anonymous donor in the meantime before the police, like, started doing shit.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that was... Oh, sorry, Danny.
Oh, no, you got it.
I know we're, like, on a weird delay today. Apparently, in the same town, there was a teenager that went missing in 1998. And this girl, I think her name was like Tara Smith or something like that. And I think that her family kind of like urged this family to like not trust the cops a little bit.
Okay. That makes
sense. So they raised the money to hire like private investigators to kind of be like, we don't think she left on her own or whatever. But I read that, and actually, the girl that went missing in 1998, they knew each other. Like it was like, Sherry was in class with her sister, I think.
Really?
So there's like a weird tie. There was a couple articles I read that were like, this case sounds a lot like the same. Like if she, you know, in some of the theories that we're going to get into later, could have been an outline for this. But unfortunately, that girl was never found. So it was kind of like, you know, obviously bittersweet for that family. But I know that the two families connected to kind of talk about how to deal with it. And that's kind of why her family was like, fuck it, we'll just do it ourselves.
Interesting. Well, regardless, this did become huge news. Federal, state, and local authorities got involved. It became international news, like the whole nine. So basically, as we know, she disappeared while on a run. An iPhone, earbuds, and strands of long blonde hair were found along a jogging path. So that's the disappearance.
Freaky.
Freaky. So that was on November 2nd. So then, weirdly enough, so sort of right after this happens, the family goes into obviously overdrive trying to raise money, get information on this. Feels the police aren't doing a lot, and then the police starts to kind of catch up to them. But shockingly enough, she returned 22 days later on Thanksgiving morning. So, I mean, obviously, like, mashed potatoes are powerful beings. I would show up anywhere for them, too. Motorists spotted her around 4:30 a.m. on, like, the morning of Thanksgiving and said that she was emaciated and weighed 87 pounds, which is
tiny. That is, like, truly starved, though.
Yeah. I realize I wrote it that way. The motorist, like, didn't say she weighed 87 pounds, but, like, later the hospital said that. But I just wanted to put it up for everyone.
No, yeah.
That I know you guys know that, but, like, I don't want someone to be like, well, actually.
I would also.
The motorist was like, you look like you're about 87 pounds.
Well, that's like my ears driving.
Bike rider. Just go around shouting people's weights at them.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm like, what if I ever witness someone commit a crime? I'll be like, I don't know. He was like taller than me. And like, how do you guesstimate someone's weight and height? Like, I don't know how you do that. So
I feel like if someone's missing and you think that they went out on their own accord, you just say that they, you go out and say that they weigh 10 pounds more than they do, because then they'll want to like get onto a newspaper and be like, actually, how that worked for me.
I feel like if I were like ever, yeah, involved in crime, I'd be like, he looks like that one actor, you know, the guy from that thing.
The thing.
He kind of reminds me of the one guy on that show that was like friends with like, you know.
It's on Netflix.
They'd be like, you said nothing, bitch. Yeah. It was wildly panned, but like critics liked it. And like, it was kind of like, yeah, it was kind of like inside baseball. If you're like a writer, people be like, what?
Freaks and geeks, but not. Yeah.
Oh man.
So he's motorous. So they found her frantically waving on the side of the road in Yolo County, California.
Oh,
which
my God.
About,
I didn't even notice that.
About 150 miles away from her home. I know it's deep. You only live once. So from The Guardian. Yeah, I didn't. Because I read this too. I didn't get it. She was tipped out of a car. So I guess that
really
means like
trying
out
to
of
get
it.
A picture of like what the hell happened. But like, truly. Because most of the reports I read made it seem like she was kind of standing on the side of the road waving. But then some of the reports made it seem like she was in a car. I don't fucking know.
I googled car tipping, and it was only people tipping cars, so I couldn't get any more information on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, did someone see her in the back of a truck? I don't fucking know. So, whatever, guys.
And that just,
but then she was also screaming. So it's like, was she screaming in the car? Was she outside of the car? Like, it's all...
Or maybe just The Guardian had that detail wrong. Like, who the hell knows?
Maybe it's like a British thing. Yeah, who knows? So she was bound at the waist by a chain that was attached to her left wrist with a zip tie, and hose clamps were around her ankles. So the Sarasota,
that's some serious shit.
That's intense. That is chained, captured type of situation.
Yeah.
So the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office claims that called them pain compliance restraints. And a description of, I feel like it's sort of a thing where like they, like she was they would cause pain if she tried to move or anything like that. So they, like, it was like a restraints heavy on the pain. So
thanks.
Yeah.
Like, are those available to purchase by regular people?
I mean, I feel
sounds
like
some kind of weird sex shit. So maybe.
Yeah. That, but and also
I feel like I'm a cop.
Feel like kind of things with like in farms and stuff like that. I feel like they're kind of things that could just be like,
oh yeah,
used, you know what I mean? I'm also just assuming because like this is like near nature. I'm like, there's a farm,
right?
But a description of how she was found, her left.
This
hand
is what her husband told 2020.
Matt Gutman. Her left hand was in the vehicle chained to something. She was chained anytime she was in a vehicle. They opened the door. She doesn't know because she had a bag over her head. They cut something to free her restraint that was holding her into the vehicle and then kind of pushed her out of the vehicle. So the picture he's painting is sort of that they just kind of, she was tied to the vehicle, pushed her out. She screams so much. She's coughing up blood from the screaming, trying to get somebody to stop. Keith is also saying, and again, just another sign of how my wife is. She's so wonderful. She's saying, well, maybe people aren't stopping because I have a chain that looks like I broke out of prison. So she tried to tuck her chain into under her clothes. So she was saying that no one was really stopping for her because she looked like she was like an escaped prisoner, which like, I don't think I would, I mean, I guess that could be interpreted that way, but it's sort of an interesting, like in that moment, an interesting like looking in for her. Like, I don't know if that's my first situation, if I was being like just freed from captures to be like, oh, what do people think I look like? Do they think I look 87 pounds type of situation?
I was gonna say, especially if I haven't eaten, I definitely wouldn't be like having these like things being like, well, they're not stopping because they think this. I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, but that is like, kind of a crazy thought. So maybe you would have it because like if she'd escaped from prison, she'd be wearing a jumpsuit.
Yeah. I know. I also feel like it's a hard thing too around this time. Like, are people still like picking up hit? Like, it's, I feel like no one wants to stop on the side of the road for someone this like.
No, we've all been watching Law and Order in 2016.
Yeah. Well, the I-5 truly is just like, it's just a straight stretch. Like, I used to have to drive it all the time from LA to San Francisco. And it really is just, and you see, like, it's a bizarre stretch where, like, anytime you pull off on the side of the road to get gas, you're like, where do these people live? Because there's nothing fucking around it. It's just, like, literally, like, a Burger King and a couple, like, a Love's gas station. And, like, there's this one diner where there's, like, a teepee outside. Like, there's just, like, a lot of weird shit. But every single time I'm like, where are these people living? Because there would be like nothing around anything. So I feel like, yeah, people could like wander. I don't remember. I definitely have never picked up a hitchhiker, but it's, I feel like,
thank God,
like just one stretch, people could like definitely like start to walk it because it's just a fucking stretch, you know?
It's crazy.
Okay. Oof. So then her husband went on to say that she was covered in bruises because of the alleged repeat beatings that she said that she had. The bridge of her nose was broken. Her hair was chopped off. And she also was branded on her right shoulder, but no one knows what it is because it's obscure letters and also poor quality. So that just goes to show tattoo artists should be paid more for their work, I guess.
Branders, yeah. I suppose.
Which is kind of, I feel like that part is annoying because that would be able to give so much information, I feel. Or at least just like kind of.
They gotta like try to like match it with something.
Just something, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think police also just haven't released like what the brand looks like to like preserve the investigation or whatever. But yeah.
All right. So after she was found, they were able to get her. This is what she said happened to her. So she claims that she was abducted at gunpoint by two Hispanic women who spoke Spanish the majority of the time with her. So she couldn't understand what they were saying. They were driving a dark colored SUV. She says that they beat her and held her captive in a basement before dumping her on the side of the road, which she was then found on. She then goes on to try to describe the women. She said one woman had long curly hair, thin eyebrows, and pierced ears. And the other was older with straight black hair and gray eyebrows. So obviously with like this short description, police released a sketch of the women and a $10,000 reward to no avail because it seems both, because I even looked at the sketches. They weren't that, like, it was kind of
generic. It could be anyone. And also they're wearing bandanas in the sketches. So you really, like, who the fuck knows?
You can't tell. Yeah. That's my favorite thing. Reddit people being bandanas, coronavirus, calm down.
That was insane. They were like, maybe people will recognize them now that they have bandanas. Like,
that's when I closed.
It reminded me of red. It reminded me of a Cinderella story when she has this tiny mask around her eyes and like no one can tell her identity.
Yeah, like that one. But I will say I ran into a couple friends during Corona with like things on. Like I had a friend, she had a mask on and glasses, and she's like, Casey, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like it was like I didn't know. So I will say there is something, and I ran into a friend that didn't recognize me with my mask on because I was wearing a mask and a hat, and she was like ran away from me. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I could see how if the people were kind of like covered halfway, it might be harder to, you know, unless you were like directly looking into their eyes again at another point, you know.
Yeah.
Rolo.
YOLO.
Sorry.
So then after with all of this, police were unable to ultimately determine what led to her abduction, why she was taken, and also why she was suddenly released 22 days later.
Yeah, that's like the main, I feel like that's like the sketchiest part of it, is that it's like, okay, she was taken, she was released, there was no money, like there was essentially no reason for any of this to happen.
Right, and she also was released like after not that long.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, she was able to watch the Macy's parade. And it's a weird thing. I feel like also if these people's end game wasn't, like if she wasn't murdered and released 22 days later and there was like a 50 grand reward out there, it's weird that like no one jumped on that if there was no...
It's very weird that no one claimed it. It was like there was a six-figure reward at one point.
Yeah. And the six-figure reward I know was meant to like...
Entice,
but like there's so much sketchiness surrounding this, and I think we get into the reward later, right? But the sketchiness that kind of just immediately jumps out about this case is that Sherry was found bound and restrained on the side of the road around 4:30 a.m. But there is a video, and you can look it up. It's on like definitely a few. It's definitely, I think if you just looked up the video, you could find it. There's like two different versions of it.
The New York Post has it. I watched it and literally could not determine a single thing. It was a blob moving through a screen. I was like, sure, I guess.
Exactly. But it's around 4:30 a.m. and it is a video that shows somebody unshackled running. And there's a longer one too. I don't know if you saw both. There's one where they run across the parking lot and then it's like just on the parking lot for a solid like minute and a half. And then they run back to the other side. But it's clearly like it's somebody running, but how they've determined that it's Sherry Papini.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of crazy.
They haven't shared with us, but it is. I think that any of those weird, like caught on tape videos just are creepy in general though. Like, it's just the dark and seeing somebody just running. So this is a video that they claim is Sherry and that she was just like literally, you know, 4:30 a.m. So this is right before she was found and she was unshackled and she was running, which is a little shady. Like, what did she run back to because nobody was chasing this person in the video. So I don't know exactly what happened. Here's something else. Police discovered that Sherry had actually been texting a male acquaintance who lived in Michigan. They shared several texts from months to days before her disappearance. It was unclear if they had a romantic relationship. People kind of just were like, well, they were friends. They just kept in touch. But the man was in California on a business trip a few days before her disappearance, and she had planned to meet with him. He was, which is a little bit sketchy, but he was quickly ruled out as a suspect. So who knows what was said there, but again, kind of a weird, shady motive, possibly. She claims, Sherry also claimed that she fought with one of the women and cut her foot, but there was no cut found at the hospital. That was something that you'll find in like almost every report. People are fucking obsessed with this foot cut and they want to see it. They love to see it, but they didn't see it.
Foot fetishes for so many reasons.
I know. She also claimed one of the suspects wore large hoop earrings.
Okay, I just put that in there because I was like, who's wearing large hoops to a kidnapping? That's just like a hazard. I can't even wear earring like studs when I play volleyball. You're going to wear giant hoops when you take someone and hold them captive. But that's just my theory, guys.
I've worn hoops in very weird situations. So I understand the need for a little height on your face.
You gotta add a look.
You have to have a look, you know?
And they probably made her more confident to kidnap.
Big hoop energy. But,
I know. But truly, if somebody did try to come after me with hoops, I would just yank them out of their face.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, because I've worn hoops for so many years, too, my earlobes are so stretched that, like, literally somebody could brush past me and my ear would probably fall apart. It's, like, truly, truly, truly. I've worn the heaviest earrings for so long that now, like, you can literally, like, look through my ear hole. That's going to be my first thing out of quarantine. I'm going to get my ear hole stitched up so I can wear hoops comfortably. So if anybody's got a good dermatologist that will stitch my ear holes, drop it in the comments. Okay.
Amazing.
I just pointed at them just so you guys know.
Put it at your lap. Yeah.
from Arlong. Okay, so no cut foot, hoop earrings. All right, this is what else we got going on. She apparently had had several run-ins with the law before, including this time in 2003 when her mother said Sherry was hurting herself, but she called the cops and blamed it on her mom, which is, again, if you look at this woman's eyes in the poster, you'd be like, this bitch is fucking crazy. In 2000, Sherry's sister Sheila alleged that Sherry may have kicked in her back door, but was unsure because nothing was missing. So her own sister thought that she possibly broke into her house. So, and this is her family, okay? The same people that wanted to find her that are saying these things. Then later that day, Sherry's dad, Richard, alleged that she did vandalize his home in Shasta Lake, California. Okay. 3 years later, on October 3rd, 2003, Richard alleged that what'd you say?
It's Mean Girls Day.
It's October 3rd. Yes.
I don't know if that's related or not. Wait, that is actually 2003. That's when Mean Girls came out, right? Suspicious.
Shit. She's doing all this for Regina George. I'm going to lose my shit. So on October 3rd, Richard, her dad, said an unauthorized withdrawal was made from his bank account, and he thought that it was Sherry. The money was later returned. Okay, so that's that's weird stuff.
It definitely sounds like she has a fraught relationship with her family. And but if this was 2000, I have to do math now. If she was 34 in 2016, then, I mean, she was a teenager? 18. Maybe she was just a rebellious teenager.
I guess. And especially because after that, she started to do some volunteer stuff and has been a good mom. But it's weird. It brings her character into question in a way that, from the first loop around, no one really thought of in a way.
That's true.
Because for a while, you just thought that she was this perfect mom. And you're like, oh, there is some sketchiness. But does it matter now? And does it apply for this type of thing?
Yeah. Because you do, you are a different person. I don't think any of us are the same people we were when we were 16 or 17.
Hope not.
Definitely. Yeah, sure. Hope not.
In quarantine, yes. But not besides that.
I mean, truly. I said I'm regressing. But an anonymous source told Heavy, which is Heavy's a magazine, right? An online magazine?
Yeah, it's a publication.
That they were advised that Papini's extended family claimed that she had staged her own abduction back in 2006. Okay, so here's where we're really starting to tie it all together. Not to mention the fact that for this kidnapping, she was found with both male and female DNA on her, which is weird because, she's famously keeps saying it's just these two chicks that have abducted her, but there was male DNA found on her. It was taken from her clothing, and the male DNA did not match her husband's, and all the DNA was entered into CODIS, CODIS, with no matches. CODIS. I know that she kind of blamed it on, she was like, oh, well, they gave me clothes, so maybe they know a guy.
I kind of also feel like it's so easy for DNA to just transfer.
Yeah.
And the fact that, because the male DNA was taken from her clothing and the female DNA was from her body. And, I just remember when I was looking shit up for JonBenet Ramsey, the person who sewed her pants could have their DNA on the pants. It's crazy how easily DNA can transfer. So, I don't know.
Yeah, this is one of those things that they really harped on. But that the same thing. I feel like easily male DNA could have been in a car. Easily,
I feel like
sat on male DNA.
It's the hard thing too, because there's so little for this case. When they found something like this, they're like, we're running with it type of thing, because I'm sure there's also pressure from the police and the people investigating it to let's get answers, let's close this type of situation too.
Yeah. Well, I think also the minute any case gets national attention, they're like, DNA, they have to scream something. Her husband, Keith, passed a polygraph, but Sherry was never given one because they say that it's not common to have victims take a polygraph. I also read it saying that the cop was kind of like, that's a little rude.
A little bit.
Yeah, to make the victim be like, oh, let's figure this out. The sheriff's office did say in 2017 that Sherry continues to provide details as she can recall, but has not been able to provide a complete detailed statement due to her poor recollection. Okay, that's to be understood. It's understandable.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you're looking for reasons to doubt it, that's one, but also this seems completely reasonable to me.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm just including all the things I find.
Yeah. I mean, overall, like we said before, this was just the weirdness of having two female abductors having them brand her, having they're obscuring their own identities, and then suddenly just letting the victim just go for no money, nothing. It's all really, really uncommon when it comes to kidnapping. Not necessarily impossible, though. But also something weird. In 2003, a blog post purported to have been written by a Sherry Graff, or Grafe, which is Papini's maiden name, surfaced. And it was archived from a website called skinheadswithaz.com. Because, of course, it was. And it basically talked about how she'd have to defend herself against Latinos because she was proud of her white heritage.
And this was all, like, stories from high school. So I made a comment last episode about how, like, apparently Sherry was super racist. I had just gotten that impression, and it's, I think, because of this blog post. So I think I was wrong, just as a blanket statement.
Well, I think, I thought that I did read something that said that she was kind of against immigration, right?
I couldn't really find much evidence one way or the other from, like, legit sources that aren't just people on Reddit being like, oh yeah, I knew her.
The only thing that was reported upon
was I found this blog post that her family claims was, like, definitely not her, and it was, like, maybe a prank from someone in her high school, but, like, kind of weird that it's a 2003 blog post. Like, it's not, it wasn't a new one.
Right. Yeah. Like, it wasn't something that somebody put out to try to, like,
as
be
a
part of this investigation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, weird. So that's, I guess, one of those things that we'll never know.
What did you find about her, though?
I thought I read in one of the things that it just said that she had been vocal about not supporting, like, immigration, something like that. Like, I thought that that's what I read in one of those things.
She's registered, her and her husband are registered red, so I don't know. I mean, who knows what that, I'm not reading anything.
How do you find that? That's, like, real investigative.
That's red. I had three glasses of red wine, and I was
okay, good. I was like, three bottles. I think I would.
But you also
be dead.
Like, there's the picture of her and her husband that he provided where they both have their hands, like, on an American flag, and they're, like, putting it into the ground.
Fucking yikes.
Yeah. Also, the last thing that's kind of a little bit sketchy about this is that the lead investigator on this case, Lieutenant Anthony Bertain, said in 2016 that he didn't think Sherry had been abducted. So there's the main guy that has a lot of the information that's been doing all the research was like, I don't know. So that's a whole bunch of crap that is hard to sift through, but very strange indeed.
Super strange. So as far as theories, there's, like, a billion, and also not that many. So
there's as many theories as anyone wants to shout into the void type of situation.
Pretty much. So kind of, like, the main ones, one of them is it was sex trafficking and then a case of buyer's remorse, which is weird. Cause I mean, she was 34. Like,
yeah.
I do feel like that's not common. Although authorities examined other cases for similar patterns, like regarding how, like, the operation, the treatment, and the release of the captured victim, and nothing came up. Another theory is that, like, it's a hoax. Sherry faked it for unclear reasons. Like, some people think internet fame, but, like, she hasn't really capitalized on this alleged kidnapping. Like, if she was after fame, you think she would have a book and, like,
she's not on Cameo
selling her life rights and stuff like that. And
she essentially, like, lives in secret right now. Like, she doesn't come out of her house.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, maybe she did try to do it for fame, and then once she realized how big it was getting, got scared off, but it doesn't, I don't know, to me, I'm just like, I don't know what you would have gotten out of this, and especially imagine having to break your own nose, like, sheesh, I don't know, it's a lot of effort.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of effort.
Another theory is that it was a hoax to stoke racism and or spread scare against the Latino community. This actually semi-tracks for me just because, like, it was 2016.
I was thinking that too.
Like, if you're going to choose a perfect assailant, I mean, the fact that they're women is a little, like, off, but it was 2016.
Yeah, there was one article that was, like, she was getting it was the whole, like, as Trump was coming up, and it was, like, the same time as, like, the kidnapping went super popular, was, like, Like the whole thing was, like, she was even getting attention even as Donald Trump was getting, like, so that it was that big that it took a little, like, it was, like, not sharing the spotlight, but that it was still getting coverage even.
Conversation, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Can you send me that one? I want to read that.
Okay, I'll check my history.
Yes. No, it sounds super interesting because I was just kind of thinking it like as I was reading it. I'm like, you know, it's kind of like if you were to imagine who would be the perfect scapegoat
truly
in this time. Yeah. It's like that's they didn't why even it's say like all almost that. Too perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, here's like the more involved part that goes into
the stuff we told you to put in your pocket.
Ransom. Okay, so one of the theories, I saw this on Reddit, and then they linked out to a Guardian article, so I'm inclined to like semi-believe it. Or just right. like not think this is some random Reddit person's like shouting into the void. is that this whole kidnapping was an inside job to promote the business interests of a man named Cameron Gamble, who I keep almost calling Corey Gamble because of Kris Jenner. Okay. Yeah. So Cameron Gamble was this guy. He appeared in videos pleading for Sharia's return, and like it's a whole thing, so buckle up. I'll try to summarize it. Okay. The Papinis had this friend named Lisa Jeter. What is with these guys and their famous adjacent names?
I also love, this is somehow not in Jersey. So the Papinis had a friend named Lisa Jeter. I'm like, go on.
I know, it's like unreal. Okay, so Lisa contacted this guy, Cameron Gamble, after she saw him give a lecture to her Rotary Club about the risk of abduction while traveling overseas. I think he was this, like, this former Army guy.
Yeah,
like,
he trained Navy SEALs. Yeah.
He was the one who proposed the sex trafficking theory. He said that sex traffickers and Mexican cartels were active along I-5, which was the main highway that ran near Sherry's house. Also, apparently
that does
there was...
really, I was going to say, that just does scare me because you know how many, I mean, I did that drive so often as like between like 20 and 23, like by myself, sometimes in the middle of the night, like in a fucking 89 Honda Prelude that had duct tape on the trunk. Like, I mean, I feel like it's like really scary to think this happened because like, I was constantly like alone in the middle of the night.
At least you weren't jogging along the highway though.
No, I was just jogging to buy cigarettes and Diet Coke in gas stations and then jogging back to my car.
There you go.
And like jogging as well as someone can who's living off Diet Coke and cigarettes.
And my Mambas, my road trip food, as I told you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, apparently there was a double wide trailer near the Papini's house that was a notorious drug den, which makes me think, like, where did these people live?
Well, it's again, like, a lot of
and how near are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, I know, so I have cousins that live right outside of Shasta, and it's like, there's space in between stuff, but it's also like, so this is kind of around the same area as like Shasta, Colusa County, Chico are all kind of within a same family of like, I mean, they're not like all like super close, but there's like a ton of land like in between things. And I think Redding kind of is around. I would just do a quick Google search so nobody calls me out. But there's like a lot of space. But I also just think it's like if they're working youth to youth and trying to do anti-drug stuff and they know that there's somebody living across from them with two kids that is doing drugs, wouldn't they be like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of a weird thing. So the deal with the reward is that basically Keith, Lisa, and Cameron got approached by some anonymous donor and they all came up with this plan to set up the reward. So I don't know who, and we don't know who this anonymous donor was, or like he or she had just seen a few things about Sherry and I guess just been like so motivated and wanted to help. So they came up with this like scheme, honestly, where the anonymous donor wired the money to Jeter, who withdrew it in cash. Jeter then gave the cash to Gamble, who apparently kept it in a black duffel. Now we're in Ocean's 11.
Right. They're so all then, living out their own kidnapping fantasies.
Truly.
Right. Gamble then went public with the reward in an interview with a local TV reporter and YouTube. And they had this deadline of 115 hours to get the reward money. Nobody called the hotline number except a local Redding reporter.
Yeah, but the video went viral, like, right away.
Crazy. Then when the deadline ran out, they canceled the ransom, replaced it with the six-figure bounty for information leading to Sherry's release. And then within 24 hours of that video going live, she was found.
Right.
So it's this theory that, like, he and they cooked up this scheme to, like, I don't know, promote his business, which has got to be the craziest guerrilla marketing campaign I've ever heard of.
It's one.
So those are like kind of the main theories. I don't know. I didn't want to go so deep into Reddit, but like a lot of, I don't know. I mean, Reddit, there's a whole subreddit
devoted
just
to her,
on this. Yeah. And like the general consensus seems to be that she faked it, but I'm not really sure.
Did they give reasons in subreddit? I'm sorry, Danny.
It's hard because it's like trying to get on that subreddit now is like trying to start the Harry Potter series at the sixth book.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's just a lot of people, though, because, like, the only new type of Reddit post that go up is someone's like, well, why did the mayor retire? And someone's like, because he worked for 40.
He was 75 or whatever, you know? Like
they're, like, kind of suspicious and weird things like that. But I feel like it's also just people, a lot of people are clinging to, I think, on Reddit, too, with, because none of it really makes sense or comes together for any other way. They're just kind of looking at her being like, well, what really happened here? So that's why more of them are leaning towards her faking it.
It's also weird. It's all so weird.
First off, do we think that she was having an affair with some guy and that this was some like weird elaborate cover-up?
Well, that's what a lot of people point to, like her first marriage. First of all, I had to go digging. I couldn't even find anything about her marriage. It was in like the Daily Mail. Which to me is like, were they trying to cover that up? But people on Reddit are like, well, she started kind of seeing Keith while she was still married to the first husband. So maybe she was like prepping the Michigan man to be the next husband. And then things went awry somehow.
I think because especially with the being like her, and now it's that weird painting picture thing of like, okay, so she did all this kind of weird stuff with her family when she was younger, then was married and now was like this super mom type of thing, but then you still kind of have the idea she was texting this other guy, and that's the thing that kind of opens up a big wormhole for me, being like, all right, so maybe she was kind of doing a double life type of thing and this would have been a part of it. So I want to be like, and maybe that's why she went off the map, because like she's like, oh shit, I didn't know all of my like under, like all of my skeletons could come out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I tend to, I'm thinking about all the weird shit that happened with her family. Again, like we said, like she could have just been like a troubled teen or whatever, but yeah, the fact that there maybe is a little, there was a little darkness in her that was kind of weird. Like, I just, I think you're right. I think like the breaking of the nose and starving your own self.
That's like, crazy. Like I have a hard time believing that any guy would like, you know, pretty much put his wife out to pasture and break her, have her break her own nose and like,
Starve herself just to affected.
Yeah, and like just to promote some random dude's business interests. Like, I don't know. That whole theory is pretty weird to me.
I think
because like,
You go.
Well, I want to know what happened to the duffel bag full of money. Like, did it just go back?
Good question.
Or like, did she walk out of there with it? Plus the $49,000. Like, if it was really used for PI, there is kind of some money involved.
Yeah,
so who knows?
I just feel like that theory is so like a Scooby-Doo theory where
it's all Man Jenkins.
We're like the dominoes cascade, hit the lever flips. I'm like, there's so many moving
parts right
here that these
you're
people
right
aren't uncovering this shit.
You're right. Someone also, I think that this was back when we had done the Nexium episode, but someone was like, maybe Sherry Papini like got too deep into Nexium because they branded their members, but
they didn't eat, they weren't able to eat because it was they wanted to have the
but members. I think also it took the Nexium people a long time to work up to branding. Like, it wasn't like welcome to Nexium 3 weeks later.
That's true.
It was like a long pattern of like manipulation and abuse,
and also
and
I feel like they also were powerful enough they wouldn't have let someone go. Do you know what I mean? I feel like they wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, go do your thing type of, like, I don't know.
Do you guys think it was Gamble and Jeter that set the whole thing up?
I don't actually even know if I think it was a hoax, because like, again, it's just like a lot to
but
put yourself through.
Maybe Sherry didn't know it was a hoax. Maybe it was all right about Gamble and Jeter, and they just used her as a pawn because they probably knew with the bangs and the blonde hair she would get some attention, or you know, maybe
no,
like
I guess I don't know who
agenda
these people are. Like, they just kind of appeared in some random Guardian article, and I was like, who?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't just become an anonymous six-figure donor for no fucking reason. Like,
that's true.
Maybe there were these people that were doing this that, like, Sherry actually didn't know, but that it was staged, but she just had no idea that it was, that she was always going to be released.
And you know,
so you know what I mean?
I kind of feel like maybe she was actually kidnapped, but she's too scared or traumatized to, like, you know, reveal her attackers in any way. And so maybe, like, I think that the suspects are maybe what is more of the hoax. Like, I could believe that she was genuinely kidnapped and, like, you know, maybe they said something about her kids or her family and, like, she doesn't want to actually point the finger in the right direction. So she made up who would have been, like, a quote unquote perfect, like, assailant back in 2016. So, like, she fictionalized these two women. I don't know.
That's fair, because I feel like if you're able to, you're captive, you're taken away from your family for 3 weeks, you get released, you're alive, but you're all bloodied and injured. You're not going to try to ruffle feathers. You're going to do what she did and go off the grid, go off the map with her family. But I wonder too, Casey, going back to your thing, I wonder if it was like someone who knew her, like them.
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know why I keep on going back. It's so weird that she was released on like a major holiday and before the holiday, that I know that sounds stupid, but it's sort of a weird thing too, that these like family friends would be like, okay, well, we did it. We tried. Go have Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, that's why there's part of me.
They're like, we're kidnappers, but we're not monsters.
Oh, yeah. We're not terrible. But, like, there's part of me that thinks that it was that, like, that it might've been a hoax, but that she wasn't in on it. Like that it might've been like that her friends could have hired some people, like, you know, some shady, like, who the fuck knows? Like, people will do anything for money, and that's why, like, they just kind of, like, let her go with nothing, because they already probably paid by,
because that's also the perfect crime too, because then she literally doesn't know what happened, but all the other possibilities of it don't make sense because she's not thinking of that.
Yeah, like, it could have totally been this weird agenda from somebody else to be like, let's make a Latino person the bad guy, and, like, use this perfect all-American woman as an example of, like, doing nothing wrong.
Okay, but here's my thing.
Here's my Reddit. I'm Reddit right now.
No, like, here's my one thing is, like, I'm just kind of thinking of Gone Girl, and I'm like, okay, the shackles, cool. The bruisings, yeah. The hair, definitely. Why the branding, and why, like, breaking your nose? Like, that is just, that to me is, like, a step so far. If it's fake.
Well, maybe that's when started to take it too far, and they, like, you get caught up in it.
I'm also wondering, like, we've never seen the branding. We don't know what the branding looks like. The branding has never been described. Like, is there branding?
Well, I don't think, like, the police and news outlets would, like, make that up.
I don't know.
I wonder if it's branding or just, like, burns from, like, a radiator, and it looks like, they're, like, they can't figure out the letters. And it's like, because they're just scarring.
Yeah, there's part of me that feels like they keep saying branding, but, like, there's not really much more to it. Like, also, like, I don't know. I think that was what her husband said, right? Or did the police also say it?
Well, she probably got examined with it, too.
Yeah.
Do you think that they,
I mean, I would assume they saw it at the hospital. Otherwise, like, I think you'd see in the reports, her husband said she was branded, but...
But there also could be a branding thing with, like, so, okay, here's my other thing. If they did hire people that might have been in gangs or whatever, sometimes I feel like there are certain groups, like, they do their own branding with things. Like, I remember when I was in fifth grade, there was a lady gang in my neighborhood, and they would burn girls with cigarettes, like, right here on in between their thumb and their finger. Because I remember they did it. I watched them do it at recess one time. They would just burn girls as initiation. So, like, branding or part could have been, say these people were hired, or they were just regular, like, or they were who they say that, like, they're a branding could have been part of some kind of weird initiation thing if it was part of this bigger thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess, like, saying,
because, like, there is some kind of, like, burning type rituals I know is done in some certain things. But that's also just to say, if these people were in a gang and this was a whole initiation thing. That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other fucking
theory. I don't know.
That's a whole, that is Reddit. You just like, I'm like.
Goodbye. See you next year.
See you, bye. I got to join Reddit. Because there's also that whole thing, like, remember that thing that happened in New York last year? Because our friend was shot in it. But that thing where a kid just open fired at a park, just bang, 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 for no apparent reason. But we think it was also like initiation to something. Like, oh, you have to go do this. Like, for just no reason that. Of just, yeah, it was like a, because it was our friend got actually hit in the arm, but it was a whole initiation thing where I think they just say, just go fire shots or something like that. So there, that's a whole other fucking topic of like a gang initiation thing.
So maybe it was like
go through these things. Mm-hmm. So it could have been that. So,
how come that's not a theory that no one's ever put forward? That seems to make sense.
Nobody saw fifth graders burn each other with Newport cigarettes like I did. Okay.
No one's seen the shit I've seen.
Don't come at me. But
no, but I mean that does kind of make sense
because that's true. It is. It connects dots. It really does.
Yeah, that could have been.
Casey has solved the case.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
forward this podcast link to the detective. You're welcome. Truly, the reward.
We did it.
Retrograde. What if I have to start giving up names of like the fifth graders that were being burned? We got in trouble for that. We had Jessifer.
I was going to say, was it Jessifer?
Oh, Jessifer was not in the gang. Jessifer was very smart. She was a good girl.
All right.
I won't even name the two names.
One thing though. That I think is interesting is I kept seeing things on the news that was like, if they would enter this DNA into like a genealogy thing, they could maybe get a lead on the suspects because they caught the Golden State Killer that way. So I'm down for that.
Oh, yeah. Genealogy it up.
Because I mean, they're saying that the investigation is still open, but they're not really doing much. They're not really like doing anything for it though, right?
I think that's kind of code for like, we're not spending our resources on it right now, but like, it's not closed.
Yeah.
But I think that would be interesting if they would do that.
Yeah. Because there is part of me that just really believes she wasn't involved because of how she's acting now. Because if it was for this, that, or the other, I mean, again, maybe
I don't think she cooked up this scheme. That's insane. Yeah.
I think she was a pawn in something that was cooked up. That's what I'm going for.
I feel like that.
Either a gang initiation, possibly, or a weird money thing with her friends and this business thing. But I think that she was just a face for whatever somebody.
Interesting. You
know. And maybe even that could be why she was released with nothing, because when it did get too big, these people were like, okay, we're not actually like, we might get caught or something. Or, you know, the money came out and just went back to wherever it goes. I don't know. I got a lot of theories, guys. I got a lot of theories.
Those are all interesting theories.
Theories on theories.
You convinced me.
I want to send this. We will be sending this thing to the detectives.
These three white people being like, have you heard of gangs?
God. No, that sounds so bad.
Cigarettes.
That was a Filipino gang, though. That wasn't
Oh, gosh.
Like, no, our friend Jessifer told us about gangs, yeah.
Don't talk about Jessifer like that. She's a nice girl.
We're going to get like a cease and desist.
From Jessifer?
From Jessifer. Oh, God. Sorry.
Oh, what if she like secretly listens?
I don't know. Ooh, then you're going to get an angry text.
Yeah. I've said nothing but nice things about her.
We all have.
So we're going to get the angry text.
Oh, you have too.
Me and Danny.
We'll girl, ping me. You know, ping me. BBM me.
Ping.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. That was a whole lot. Wow. What a ride.
What a ride on Sherry, what was it? I-95? No.
The I-5.
Yeah, I-5.
I-95 is a side, yeah.
The 5.
Wow.
Because in California, you have to start every freeway with the word the.
Definitely.
The 405. The 5.
Well, the guys, Wi-Fi. I don't know. Drop your theories in the Facebook group. Send us DMs. We're still making our way slowly through the DMs, but like we do respond eventually.
We do, yes.
So yeah, DM us NATC Pod on Insta. Join Not Another True Crime group on Facebook.
Answer the
questions, or else and I'm they're fun. Deny you.
We like them when you make them funny.
Oh yeah,
make and them- when you're just nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Except for that one girl that said she loves Sarah and Danny only.
Fuck wasn't you, that like three girl. Months ago?
Yeah. Oh, it's I don't so forget. Bright. I don't forget.
Casey doesn't forget, so be nice to her.
I'm lighting a Newport right now, bitch. So
to make up for that, go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and just say you love all of us You love Hillary Duff. You know what I mean? Just keep the love going.
Keep the love going.
Yeah. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Betches.